The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for being with us here on The Shepherd today on my program, Afternoons with Mike. It was my privilege to be down at CPAC Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and this past Sunday. And at that conference, which is a convention of those who would lean toward conservative thoughts and politics and approach to government, I had a chance to meet a whole bunch of people. And that's why we were there. We're there because of the fact that our biblical worldview that we should have as Christians are under attack today. And the group that is most lining up to the biblical values that we all share as believers would be those that are conservatives, not those that are on the left or those that are on the far left, the progressives. So that's why we were there. I would want you to understand that. And along the way, we had a chance to meet some very interesting and very well-known people, like what will be on my program today. First of all, we're going to be talking in a moment to Mike Lindell. He's the MyPillow guy under a lot of fire for his beliefs, for his stand with biblical Christianity, has been canceled at stores like Kohl's and others as well. Also on the program will be Kevin Sarbo, and an actress turned activist for moms is Tina Griffin. All three will be on today's show, so don't go away. Here is Mike Lindell, that guy that you know as the MyPillow guy. What a joy it is to have here at the CPAC booth for the Shepherd, Mike Lindell, MyPillow guy. Mike, welcome to our program.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
It is such a great opportunity for me to see you. I got to hear you recently when we carry Eric Metaxas on our program,
right
on our station,
yeah.
And you were there. You're facing just all sorts of issues, as Eric says he is as well, with
right.
the cancel culture.
Yep.
But tell us, give us an update on how MyPillow is doing in the face of all of the stuff that's happening.
Well, MyPillow is doing, it's hanging in there. It's doing great. I have 2,500 employees. They're all working hard. We actually fell behind on shipping because the public responded so much. To help us out, you know, and we, and by the way, you can use promo code Mike to save up to 66%.
They, I love it.
All my employees, they're very happy that everybody stepped it up. We lost over 20 retailers.
Mm-hmm.
The bots and trolls, they've attacked us. We had a recent lawsuit that came out, and they even went after my company, which was, what a shame. They should be ashamed of themselves, mm-hmm. going after a company. They had nothing to do with what I do. But the employees, they're because of our faith, you know, our faith in God, we know we're protected and we're doing great, and it's amazing.
We know that this culture is doing this to people everywhere. Do you see or have you heard of any recriminations back on them, any maybe buyer's remorse that some of these companies bought into the pressure and canceled you?
Yeah, I actually do. I have a couple. I have one, it's Colburn's in Minnesota. They did it, and they wanted to be taken off the list that I have to tell. And I said, well, then why don't you, I'm forgiving, come back, buy my book that they had bought. They had turned in a purchase order for my book, and they canceled it. So it's one thing, they want off the list, but yet they don't want to take me back, these different ones. But
mm-hmm.
I think they might. A lot of them, and I told them ahead of time, I said, you guys, these aren't real people. These are bots and trolls. These are attack groups that come at you. They're not even your real customers. No one in this country, I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, people want fair elections and where we're going as a country. And that's what I'm fighting for. And it's not like I didn't just fell off and bump my head one day. I've always backed Donald Trump. I've always backed him, and nobody had a problem with that, you know. It's very strange what we're living in right now, and they're trying to suppress us. I don't believe, if you're a Democrat, I think when you talk buyer's remorse, I think there's a lot of Democrats out there that don't believe that this is their party in the administration right now.
Well, we're seeing that happen in New York,
right.
with
yeah.
all the things that's going on with Cuomo, that there
yeah.
is a big
amount of pressure coming from his own party right now.
Right.
And it is going to be very interesting, isn't it, to see what ends up happening, because there, it's almost like we've got three forces. We've got the right, we've got the left, and we've the far left, which is now...
Well, you've got four forces. You've got evil. I mean, evil against this country. That's what I'm fighting for. People ask me, Mike, will you run? No, I'm not running, and I'm not backing anybody out there that is running until these machines are gone. And this is you have to have fair elections, and that has to be what's going to happen, and that is going to be what's going to happen. I'm working. You know, you can go see what I'm doing right now at LindellTV.com. I'm actually right now with a group. We're recalling politicians as we speak. Breaking news here, starting with Doug Ducey in Arizona. You'll see it all over the news. I'm telling you on your program. We're recalling these people, and going forward, this will be a great uniting of our country. Once everything goes out there and transitions out and plays itself out, we're going to, I believe we're going to get politicians in that will have served the people instead of their own personal agendas or their political agendas. This is what I've seen of politics. It's horrific out there.
Wow. Thank you for dropping by. And we wish you the best. We're praying for you, Mike.
Yeah, thank you.
And
thank
all
you.
Of our listeners are as well. You are loved more than you can imagine.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And that keeps me going, everybody. I haven't been able to even go back to my home state out of fear. I miss my grandkids. I miss my nieces and nephews. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to keep it going because this is our country, you know.
God bless you, sir.
Yep, thank you. God bless.
All right.
So much fun talking to that guy. He has a lot of charisma. He was being followed around like a rock star there with lots of people wanting to get selfies and to talk to him. He's so friendly. And I really appreciate Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, dropping by the Shepherd booth at CPAC. Another great interview that I so enjoyed was with Hercules. That's Kevin Sarbo. You may remember him from that series, Hercules, also Andromeda. He was on that, a TV show that was directed by Roddenberry, Gene Roddenberry, who did Star Trek. And he was also in several Christian movies like God's Not Dead, Kevin Sarbo.
Here at CPAC, and what a joy it is to have Kevin Sarbo with us here today. Kevin, welcome to my program.
It's good to be here, sir.
Man, I tell you what, I have been a fan of yours for years and years.
Thanks.
Loved you back in the Hercules days. You and Sam both.
I had a blast. I mean, 7 years down in beautiful New Zealand. The first year we did 5 2-hour movies, and Anthony Quinn played Zeus. I got a whole year working with Anthony Quinn, and we had dinner every Saturday night at this little Italian restaurant just outside of Auckland. And stories I got from, I mean, it was huge for me because I grew up loving, really falling in love with acting because of my mom watching these old movies that I'd watch with her.
Mm-hmm.
That had Anthony Quinn, that had, Tony Curtis, and had Spencer Tracy, and Humphrey Bogart, and Cary Grant, and all that. So I loved that old Hollywood stories. And so that's how it really kicked in for me. And then the show by season 3 became the most watched TV show in the world. 176 countries. It went crazy. Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
And fans everywhere.
It's still like in 50 countries around the world to this day.
It must be really weird to be in one of those roles as you were is going on and will go on for years and years to come.
You know, it's interesting. During season 7, I got a call from Majel Roddenberry, Gene Roddenberry's widow, and she said, I don't know if you can continue with Hercules, but I got a TV series my husband wrote after Star Trek finished in 1969, and I think he would love you to play the first captain he ever created after Captain Kirk. I said, stop. I said, I'm in. So I did 5 years as Captain Dylan Hunt on Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda.
Yes.
So I had 12 straight years of being the lead in 2 amazing TV series. Very fortunate.
I tell you what, it's great. And then beyond that, I know I'd love to hear what led you and how just the Lord's direction in your life that would lead you to take on a role like you did for God's Not Dead and Let There Be Light.
You know what happened there was I started doing a lot of movies. When Andromeda finished, I did a pilot for an ABC sitcom that tested number one, half-hour comedy, very funny, called Bobby Cannon. Tested number one for ABC, and they didn't pick it up. Blew me away. Why would you test? They had 27 new series that they put out there. They put the 8 cities around America with test audience. We test number one every city, and they didn't pick it up. So that devastated me because I love doing comedy. I love doing it. I did a lot of guest spots on different shows like 2 1/2 Men, According to Jim, Dharma and Greg, things like that. So I was really looking forward to it. And so I said, okay, that's the way it goes. So I started doing a lot of movies, a lot of, from Hallmark, Lifetime, and the small little independent ones. But in 2010, Dallas Jenkins, who's a dear friend of mine, he's shooting The Chosen right now.
Oh, my goodness,
and
yes.
His father's Jay Jenkins, part of the Left Behind books with Mr. LaHaye. And he came to me with the script, and he handed it to me, and he said, what do you think about it? And I said, I love it, you know, after I read it. And who's playing the part of Pastor Ben? He said, I don't know. He named a couple of actors. I said, no, I'm playing it. He goes, he just wanted my thoughts. He goes, dude, I can't afford you. He said, I can't begin to. I said, I don't care what your budget is. I said, I want to do this part. And that was the same writers that did God's Not Dead. So if you've seen God's Not Dead and not seen What If, which we shot 2 years mm-hmm. earlier, please see What If.
I have
it's
not
a better
seen
movie.
It is.
I've shot over 64 movies. I've shot 64 movies to date so far, okay? I put it in my top three easily.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's the same writers, as I said, and the same writers that did the movie Unplanned as well.
Uh-huh.
And it just didn't... independent movies, it's very hard to get the press. It's hard to get publicity behind them because you don't have $100 million. People think I exaggerate. When they do an Avengers or a Pirates of the Caribbean, those are $300 million movies, and they'll mm-hmm. spend $100 million on promoting those movies through advertising, billboards, radio, TV, whatever it may be. So we just said, you know, they didn't do a great job, but with God's Not Dead, they got a little more clever about it. And that movie, that little $2 million movie, made $140 million worldwide. Mm-hmm. It was a huge hit. But God's Not Dead is really what opened the door for me that I want to do more and more of these movies. And once Hollywood found out that I was a Christian and a conservative, that's like being a double leper, by the way, they booted me out. My manager and agent said, we can't get you in any doors anymore. And I went, wow, here in an industry that screams for tolerance,
yeah.
screams for freedom of yeah. speech, but it's the hypocrisy is always there, and it's really sad. I don't harbor that hatred for people that have an opposite point of view of me. I have atheist friends, agnostic friends. I have friends who are liberals. We have great discussions without getting mad. We still go out and go golf together, you know? Yeah. And it's so sad what the media has done, what our education system has done, the brainwashing, the indoctrination that we're going on. And people can say and pretend it doesn't exist. Of course it exists. When you and I went to school, I have no recollection of any teacher saying you shouldn't vote for this person, you should vote for this person.
Mm-mm.
Or you shouldn't believe in God. Never had that.
Mm-mm.
They taught math, they taught biology, yep. they taught history, and yep. that was it.
You know, I did have one teacher that said one thing, and it was a picture of his honesty when right. he was teaching science, and we were learning at that point about Darwinism, and he said, now I just have to make it very clear, class, they are wanting me to say this is how it happened. And he said, I'm going to pause right now and say, this is a theory.
Yeah.
In fifth grade, I heard that.
Well, thank God for him.
Thank God for somebody who stood up. But
you know?
we live in this cancer culture and culture. And your wife told me today in my interview with Sam that you've been booted off of Facebook as well.
550,000 followers gone. Why? My final post was I posted about the CDC. I didn't post my truth or anybody's truth. The CDC says masks are virtually useless to protect you from this virus. The virus is the virus. The mask to me is it's evil. Mm. It really is. It drives me crazy. We're dealing with a virus that has a 99.7% recovery rate if you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're destroying the world's economy because of it. We're destroying mom-and-pop grocery stores that have been around for three generations by saying, you're not essential, but Walmart is.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy to me what we're doing. It's obvious what we're doing, and it's incredibly sad. I do not deny the fact that this virus is contagious. So is the flu. We've had a vaccine for the flu for 80 years now, 79 if you want to be precise. And 40 to 50,000 people a year die every year from the flu. All of a sudden this year, nobody's died from the flu because everything's COVID, because we're paying them money, hospitals, to say it's COVID, say it's COVID death,
yeah.
and we'll pay you money.
Even if the death is not related
no,
to it.
No, it has not. Yeah, they say,
yeah.
if you tell me to start lying,
yeah.
and you're going to pay me $39,000 like they do for COVID deaths, for every time I lie, I'll start lying. I'll ask God to forgive me later, but I'll use that money to make good movies. That's what I'll use it for.
What kind of direction do you feel that is going to happen now in the country with it under the leadership that it is right now? What are you seeing, Kevin?
All it says to me is if Biden can be chosen president, that anybody in the world can become president. It doesn't matter who you are. It's sad. I mean, I do believe voter fraud's out there. There's proof of it that this happened very blatantly and open this time around. It's been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
I remember growing up as a kid and reading history about John F. Kennedy to realize that was the closest election they've ever had between him and Nixon. And they said, oh, there's voter fraud back then. They're talking about it. It's right there to be in front of you. As you interviewed my wife, Sam, I told her during the election, after these, you know, by the third week after the election, I said, I cannot believe that Biden won't come forward and say, look, I want to be your president because I want it honestly. I want it truthfully. So it looks like there was something out there. Because you see, there's so many weird things that have gone on. And the number of votes that came in that were completely for him, like 400,000 votes. And not one, you know, it's statistically that's impossible the way that happened. And he would say, you know what, we should have a recount. My wife says, why are you surprised that he's not doing that, Kevin? This is the same party that will go inside a woman with 6 months pregnancy and physically rip off the arms and the legs of a baby inside the womb.
That's right.
They will kill human beings, fellow humans. Why are you surprised that they would vote, that they have voter fraud? And that hit me like a ton of bricks.
That's right, because if you're able to do that and have supposedly a clear conscience and a clean clean slate in your own life, you can do anything.
You know, here's the thing. My mom grew up a Hubert Humphrey, Walter Mono Democrat in Minnesota. And she didn't want to vote for Biden, but she says, I'm not going to vote. At 88 years old, she didn't vote. And she says, I just don't like Trump. And I said, Mom, the press has done an amazing job to attack this man every single day for the last 4 years. Before he ran for office, before he said, I'm going to be run as a Republican, the Democrats loved him. They loved him in the movies. They loved him on the talk shows. They loved him. So for whatever reasons, he is a man who's not a perfect man, because none of us are perfect, male or female, where none of us are perfect. Don't look at him as a man. Look at what he's done for the country. That's the way I look at it. Look at what he's done. Obama was in office 8 years, and black unemployment was the highest it's been in decades. It was over 15%. President Trump had the lowest black and Hispanic unemployment in the history of America. Mm-hmm. And that's just one of many, many, many things he did for this country. And it's just unfortunate that, you know, we got a media right now that's so far left and so filled with hate and anger. This is the same group of people that want peace, and they're not filled with peace whatsoever. They took me down on Facebook because, not because of the things I was posting, because they know what I stand for. Just being a Christian, being conservative, is everything they're against. They hate the truth. Mm-hmm. They hate the light. They'd rather live in the darkness and swallow us right along with it. That's where the term misery loves company comes from. They want us to live in their misery. They're filled with anger and hate, and they've created the anger in the world. I want to find a way to build a bridge and have the same passion they have, but do it in a peaceful way to try to bring the country back together again, because it's very sad what we're doing.
Now, you mentioned a name, Dallas Jenkins, who was the director for the movie that you mentioned.
What If, yeah.
What If. That's going to be a must-watch for me.
It's a great movie.
But anyway, going back to Dallas, the way that he has funded the whole Chosen series, and it is pay-as-you-go, and it is crowdfunding, as he calls it. What is that going to be for conservatives, for movie makers? Is that going to be the direction that we go, or will there be another kind of a more fair, equitable studio system that will come up?
I don't know. I can only hope, because the money he raised had to set a record in crowdfunding. I mean, the most I think they ever raised before was in a movie that I was going to be in. It's called The Gosnell Story, dealing with the guy in Philadelphia.
Yes, in the abortion
thing. In the abortion clinic. We raised, I think, about $4 million for that. So for him to raise as much as $11 million, $12 million, whatever it was unbelievable. But it's so overused. So many people are trying to do it with movies that really – it's not that easy to raise money. I mean, my movies are in the $3 to $4, maybe $5 million range sometimes. And that's nothing in Hollywood's dollars. And we got to try to compete against these big monster $300 million movies. So I'm doing the best I can. Every time I've raised money, it's been a God thing. Mm-hmm. And when I raised money for Let There Be Light, out of the blue, I got a call from Sean Hannity. I loved your God's Not Dead movie, Soul Surfer. Do you have something like it? We pitched him. He wrote a check. My last movie that I just finished directing, called Miracle in East Texas, which is coming out later this summer. I was at a speaking event, like the things I'm doing right now. I was doing a book signing afterwards. A gentleman comes up to me and says, I have this much money. Can you make a movie out of it? And I said, yes, I can. So it's always been a God thing. We just got funded for the next Left Behind movie that I'm directing as well. So I'm looking forward to start filming that in June. It's so difficult to raise money, and I meet so many people that are Christians, conservatives, that are wealthy beyond wealthy. That seriously, a $3 million check for them is like me writing a $300 check.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they spend millions of dollars on politicians that don't get elected. I'm going, that politician no one remembers now. and you can't get that money back. Me, you're not only going to get 10% on your investment back, you're also going to own 50% of what this movie does in theaters, box office, DVD, streaming, whatever. So it's weird. We got a culture war on our hands, and politics runs downstream from culture. Who runs the culture? Hollywood. I'm trying to do movies that are the opposite of what Hollywood's putting out there. And I only can pray to God that we find the investors that want to come out and work with me. Please go to SorboFamilyFilmStudios.com, SorboFamilyFilmStudios.com. Check out the site. Leave us your information. We would love to talk to you.
Thank you for dropping by, Kevin Sarbo.
My pleasure.
So there you have it, both Mike Lindell and Kevin Sarbo. A short break, and then we'll be back with Tina Griffin, who is a homeschool mom and one that has a real heart for today's teenagers. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd.
This is the last day of CPAC, and I am with Tina Griffin. Tina is a speaker, an author, an actress, and a video blogger. Maybe that's the way I should say it. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you so much. Really, looking at all that, I'm like, what busy moms don't do today, it's like there's 14 different titles that you could put behind your name, but I just want to get America back on track. I want to save our country for our kids.
And you represent a company that you lead called CounterCultureMom.com.
Yes.
And boy, I tell you what, a counterculture effort is what we need in this day and age, isn't it?
It absolutely is. I have been speaking about the lies of pop culture since I was in diapers, it seems. I grew up on a farm, a dairy farm in Wisconsin, and then at the age of 16 gave my life to the Lord. I went out to Hollywood at the age of 20 with my parents' jaws on the ground. We were milking cows one night, and I said, hey, God's calling me to L.A. They're like, what? Like, which L.A.? Like, near Green Bay, L.A.? And I said, no, I'm taking off to Los Angeles. And I went out there to get my film and television broadcasting degree from Cal State Los Angeles. And during my 10 years in L.A., I've learned so much about who controls the media, what message they're promoting, why they're promoting it. It really has a lot to do with communism trying to take over America, and they are very close, and it's very, very concerning to me. And after getting married, having four kids, I became counterculture mom just because I was still going against the tide. I just had four kids in tow.
And those four kids are great motivations for you to be fighting the fight that you're doing against this cultural stream.
Yes.
You know, you get that picture of going against the flow, as you said, in so many images that we have. I think of the Chosen TV series. Their logo is that very thing, a fish swimming against the flow of the stream.
Yes.
Which represents the bombardment today of our culture, the media, in movies, in TV shows, in print, magazines, social media. You're doing this for a purpose, to help moms and equip moms, and I know you do that as a speaker. Now, you said you studied film and acting. Were you ever in that degree or that field in L.A.?
I was. For 10 years, on and off, especially the first 4 years, I did a lot of film and TV work. I worked on 90210, Melrose Place. I did dating shows just because, you know, a starving actor, you're walking through the malls and driving through the streets of L.A. and people are like, hey, can you be on Blind Date and Change of Heart? These are shows that went 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll definitely go because they paid you. But I'm like, I'm going to be the person talking about the Lord, not getting half naked, jumping in a hot tub. So those shows, they reran so many times because it was such the opposite message of those episodes than what they typically had on the air. So the viewership skyrocketed on those episodes. It was absolutely hilarious. So I did a lot of different kind of shows. I did Limited to Passion for Fashion show, tour across the U.S. I did the Miss America pageant when I was 24 in L.A. And I think that is what opened my eyes to the message that celebrities were promoting to the rest of America's children were the opposite of what they promoted to their own. Like, I learned about Eminem rewriting the lyrics for his own daughter, Haley, to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Jobs never allowed his own kids to have an Apple device in the home. So it's and there's literally 50 people I could list off, celebrities. Madonna would watch everything coming into her home. She talked in interviews. I have the interview footage as dirt that I share when I go speak around the globe. I've been on cruise ships and homeschool conventions, tons of church events, leadership retreats, all over the place over the years, speaking school assemblies and sharing this information from celebrities, video footage, my personal stories meeting these celebrities, to tell kids they are promoting one message to you: sex, drugs, suicide, cutting, depression type of an agenda, beheadings and video games. I mean, it's getting that bad, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. And then I show the footage. Do you think it's fair they teach you that and tell you to engage in those activities, which can lead to depression, suicide, and pregnancy at 12 years old? And yet their own kids have homeschool tutors. They go to the best colleges. They have entertainment that's clean for them to listen to, because mm-hmm. they want their children to achieve the best and have less competition for their own kids. When I share that and show the proof, you should see the kids' jaws on the ground.
Mm.
I have kids over the years that have had video game smashing parties on their high school front lawn and send me pictures. Tina, we want something better for our lives. Like, it created a revolution, because all they needed to see was the proof that these celebrities were lying to them, and the people they were emulating and trying to look up to and have as role models as a poster on their wall literally was living a double life.
Mm-hmm.
This Hollywood hypocrisy really makes the kids think, how do I really want to live my life, and should my identity be based on a false narrative coming from Hollywood, or should it be based on the Lord, who is the truth?
I had a great chance to interview Brad Mattis recently from Life Issues, and he's a great proponent for pro-life, a fight against abortion, and he mentioned, which is what I've heard as well from other sources, that there's a real movement today in young people, as you're saying, that's not only rejecting all of the stuff that you've just mentioned, but they're also becoming decidedly more pro-life. Are you seeing that where you are as well?
I absolutely am. And the thing that's frustrating is 20 years ago when I first started speaking, a lot of people didn't think it was as bad as it was. And I'm trying to tell them, I'm on set. I've been to these Hollywood parties. I've been to the Oscars. I'm on Women in Film Board. I'm with the Screen Actors Guild. I am dealing with and speaking to and learning about celebrities' lifestyles every single day. It is this bad. This is the entertainment we have today, and that was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have people, especially during COVID. I went from a team of one myself for 19 years. Then I hired four people, and now we have 21 people on our team. Hired half of them full-time just because parents woke up during COVID, mm-hmm. realized what their kids were watching, started hearing about the corruption, pedophilia, sex trafficking on this skyrocketing level that it made them see, what are my kids seeing on TikTok? Wait a second, drug dealing is now happening on Snapchat? Are you kidding me? There's baby sacrifice going on in Netflix series? Chilling Adventures of Sabrina? Are you telling me that's not the remake 20 years ago? Because I worked on that show, Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Mm-hmm.
And 20 years later, parents are saying, because I'm sharing when I'm on the air and speaking, that Chilling Adventures of Sabrina literally has real witches hired on set to make sure the seances and witchcraft and sorcery is done properly.
Are you serious?
It's real witchcraft. And
oh, my goodness.
Parents are now like, what do we do? It is this bad. And then the frustrating part of it, big tech is now taking a lot of this truth down. So now that people are awake, we're trying to find new creative ways that we can get the truth out there. Mm-hmm. And we did. We have an app that is absolutely amazing, and every parent in America needs to have this app.
Tell us about it.
It's called the Counterculture Mom app. You can download it from Google Play, iTunes Store. The app itself is free, but we have a premium section that has 80% of our content, just because I have 21 staff that I want to pay to keep them consistent. They're an amazing team. God brought these people to me with the different levels of expertise. We have doctors writing these alerts through our app, health experts, all the way down to moms of babies mm-hmm. that want to get this America back on track, and even teenagers that go to high school, giving a teen perspective on these different pop culture topics. And so if you download the Counterculture Mom app, you go in the upper right corner, click on premium section. It's $5 a month. But we are talking about topics that are positive and negative. What to grab for your kids, like Rush Limbaugh. We just came out with a whole big series of books. Now that he passed away, we want to honor his legacy and what he did for America and our freedoms. And so we're telling parents, get books like this, but ditch negative books. And then we explain the current books that are coming out. A lot of our alerts that pump through our app, literally NBC and ABC are finally covering 2 to 3 weeks later. It blows my mind. I'm like, by then we have millions of children that have already seen that suicide on
mm-hmm,
TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
We need to alert parents right away. And the cool thing is, in our app, we have an Inform Us section. So people in our app that have our app, we have thousands of parents that use it, will message us and say, this just happened, this just broke. So we have a group of undercover FBI agents working for us, not just parents, but teens as well. We grab the story, then we get more details to it and create and write up the solutions, because we're solution driven, and then we blast it out to everybody that has this system, instead of waiting for a couple million kids to see it, and then 3 weeks later parents are finding out and they're behind the times.
Mm-hmm.
And parents feel overwhelmed. They don't have 50 hours a week to do research. Our team works around the clock, literally around the clock, to make sure parents get the info in their hands.
You know, when you work in a industry like what you were working in LA, and you think about some of the inconsistencies that's gone on, like Kathy Griffin, for an example.
Oh, my word.
She was a person that was really at the top of her game and was a presenter on network television for big events, New Year's Eve, etc. And then suddenly, through just an outrageously disgusting presentation that she made with the beheaded head of the president, it's shocking to see what the industry did to her.
Yep.
Now, I'm not seeing some of these same people do the same yet. Are they becoming more calloused? Are they becoming more defensive of people who are doing things? I'm thinking right now about the big issue that's going on with the governor of New York. There's a big scandal brewing, yet the media so far has not done to him what they did to Kathy Griffin.
Yeah, it's very hypocritical, and some of the stuff just doesn't make sense. I just know that by studying the elites and the New World Order without having to go into a second radio program today, because it's a whole nother ball game.
Yeah, I guess.
I was 16 when I started reading about the elites. And so when you have, from my perspective, mainstream media that's being controlled by the very same people that control the World Health Organization with this whole COVID, I want to call it a scam. And then you have all the lies and the cover-ups of these corrupted governors. There's a lot of government officials, I'm learning just in the last year of speaking at a lot of Stop the Steal rallies in Tennessee that mm-hmm. I've been able to share. A lot of these people that are in our political government system work for China. They're part of the Chinese Communist Party. And it's very alarming to me that you have government officials, you have politicians, you have Hollywood elites that are literally working for China, who wants to destroy our country from within with communism. And if I can segue into here, that's why they report certain stories and don't report others, because if it's not part of their agenda on destroying the family structure, on destroying freedom, on destroying the economy, then they're not gonna report the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They're only going to report one narrative. And that's why so many people now, my PR person quit working at a station in Nashville, just because she was sick of working for George Soros, who literally daily, mm-hmm. basically controlled the news media to tell them what they could say on the 5 o'clock news.
You know, it's so true that they're not just ignoring a cause or a need, but it's actually very clear that in many instances, they're controlling that narrative, as you say. They're actually purposefully doing things that would seem to be destructive. And the part that I think so many people just can't get their brain around, they have prospered under a country, under a nation with freedoms, and yet there seems to be this willingness, like one person who had come into, I guess it was the U.S. Congress, and gave in a testimony the most unbelievable statement I've ever heard. My family and I moved to America, we prospered here, and now it's time for us to deconstruct all of this. Now, what is up with that? That is hypocrisy.
It is total hypocrisy. And my major alarming aha moment here is that over 20 years of doing research, living out in Hollywood, meeting the celebrities, I even went to the Playboy Mansion. Didn't do anything illegal. I was just there as a guest for a party. I'm like, where am I going? And I don't even think I had one drink that night. I was there like a fly in the wall to witness what in the world was going on. There's so much hypocrisy. So being ingrained in Hollywood for a decade, seeing what was going on, and I was speaking out against it for 2 decades total, I can tell you that back in 1963, 45 goals were written by the Communist Party on how they could strategically take over America. 44 of those goals have already taken place. Mm. About a dozen of those goals are all about entertainment. how to destroy the family structure, how to make the dad look like an idiot in programming, how to make divorce easy for families, how to make pornography look normal and accepted, pedophilia is a normal way of life. All of those are literally goals written down that you can easily find if you Google it. That tells me they know how powerful media is on the next generation and on people as a whole. But I'm focusing on the younger generation. We have brick throwers today, not peacemakers, because they've been growing up watching 70 hours of entertainment every single week in class for 40. And both entertainment and the classroom, public schools, are all communist driven. It blows my mind. You have Bill Gates with Common Core infiltrating sex ed, showing 10-year-old kids how to put a condom on a banana and having sex relay classes and games in their schoolroom.
There's a lot to be outraged about. There's no question about it. And parents are waking up, I do believe. And it is interesting, as you said, that it took the COVID pandemic to awaken a lot of parents because they hadn't spent that much time with their kids up until that point.
That's so true. And a lot of people are now homeschooling their kids. And because their kids are online doing public school classes online, a lot of parents said, well, I'm already having them do online classes at home now. What's the big deal if I switch the curriculum to something that's God-honoring and uplifting? We use Abeka Online. I absolutely love it. It's God-honoring. You have so many classes today. I don't even teach the true foundation of how this country was founded with the founding fathers on Christian beliefs.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's get that positive back in there. And just encourage parents, we win in the end. Jesus wins in the end. And my important thing is, how am I raising my kids? What kind of environment are they having? I don't want my kids to live in a bubble, so they know some of these hot topics that are happening in pop culture. But if my son knows about a negative video game that blasts through my app, which he has on his phone, he does have a phone. We have limited internet. We're very, very specific. There's Gab Wireless is what our kids have for phones. And you can pick what they're on for internet, if they even have internet, because you can choose not to have it. It looks just like an iPhone, so kids love what it looks like. They look in hip and cool. You can choose the people that you have on there as contacts, and you can get a hold of your kids, because it is a dangerous factor. People want to be able to get a hold of their kids if they're doing sports after school or even during school or at a friend's house. So Gab Wireless, you want to check that out. And you, if for code for getting a discount, you can put Grab Gab. It's G-R-A-B. G-A-B-B, Grab Gab.
G-A-B-B at the end.
Yep, G-A-B-B. Yep, okay. G-R-A-B-G-A-B-B. And you can get a discount on that phone. It's dirt cheap. The plan per month is dirt cheap. But that's just one way of hundreds of ways that Counterculture Mom, through our app, we give parents tips and tools to equip them on how to safely navigate the pop culture chaos. Because if we can watch what kind of media diet our kids are eating on a daily basis, we will have kids that are culture warriors, that are leaders, that win back this republic, that are fighting for justice, that love their neighbor, that are fighting to save babies rather than the opposite message. And it literally, what we see happening in our country today with all of the chaos and buildings burned and people dying with these riots, is these people with this Black Lives Matter agenda and Antifa, they grew up in an entertainment environment and a school environment that is teaching the opposite of what God's word clearly states.
I agree.
So our app absolutely will help these parents. They will love what the content we pump out and give them solutions.
And that address again is counterculturemom.com. counterculturemom.com. You know, here we are on this last day of the CPAC, and obviously a big day because of the fact that former President Trump is going to be speaking here today. First of all, what have your thoughts been about this conference? Do you think it met its goals? And then secondly, what are you seeing happen coming forward from this conference?
Great question. A couple of things. I'm very happy I came. I'm really saddened about the state of COVID in our country. Love your mask. Love it. Got the same one. And that was my next point that I was going to make. The masks drive me nuts, if I can just be honest.
Yes.
I believe it's a total cover-up, and we can have another whole show with where I think COVID actually is stemming from. It's not what Dr. Fauci states. This guy has been behind pushing the AIDS epidemic 40 years ago. He wants to depopulate the planet, and he's cohorts with Bill Gates. So it's a very evil plot. So to come to an event like this and have to wear a mask, it rips my heart out. But our other choice is to stay home and not be involved. So we come, make do, and I had a dear friend of mine yesterday give me a see-through mask that I'm wearing with some sequins on it. So if you're going to have to wear one, at least wear one that you can breathe through and get some clean, fresh air and not block your immune system. But the networking has been phenomenal because people are awake. So the buzz at CPAC has been so encouraging because sometimes when we're back home, we think we're the only ones fighting the good fight. You come here and there's hundreds, if not thousands of people that are saying, we got to get this country back on track. What can we do? And I've also noticed over the years, 10 years ago, I spoke at CPAC 3 years ago to the college students. It was excellent. A couple years ago, people would network, but it didn't seem like we worked together. You come to this event and within 3 seconds of a conversation, people are like, I'm calling you right now to connect you with that person to make sure we get that situation handled or we get that goal reached. It's urgency that I feel because we see how close we are to possibly losing our republic and we will die fighting for this country. That's the kind of people you have that come to this event. They're willing to take a bullet for the cause. That's what I've been saying from stage for 20 years. So it's
well
been,
said.
It's been very encouraging and I'm so glad I came. As far as today, security is all around us. President Trump company. I still call him President Trump. I think I always will.
Yeah, and if I were to ever have the opportunity to interview him, that's exactly what I would do as
well.
And it is really interesting, isn't it, to see with our eyes everything that's going on here. And we know that not every person that's here would share your enthusiasm about the biblical worldview aspect of your cause and your mission. But there are common values that have long been held as American values, which this country was founded on, those biblical values, a Judeo-Christian ethic, a Judeo-Christian belief that this is one nation under God. We're the only country around that even dares claim that, and yet we're not living it in reality right now.
Yes, and it's so tough, too, because I think a majority of Americans want to be living that. It's just the few elite that are controlling and manipulating and lying and deceiving and cheating to be in the positions that they're in, either illegally getting an office. I mean, if we looked at this hindsight, how many people have been holding an office that illegally got in over how many decades? I have been reading studies that California has been a red state since Reagan was president. So it really makes me question who's really legally in office. But that's the sad part, is there's so many Americans that really want the best for our country. It's just the wrong people are in office. And that's why at CPAC, there are so many people running. I went to an event last night and I wanted to cry. There were like 20 people announcing what they stood for and how they loved America and how they're running for office in the next upcoming years. It made me want to say, besides Counterculture Mom and working on a radio show and raising my four kids, I want to run for office. Like, I want to keep doing what I can do for this country because I love this country so much. I want to see it thrive. I want the best country for my kids to grow up in. I want it better than what I had it as a kid.
Well, my friend Dave Zanotti from the Public Square always says this. He says it's going to take parents talking to their kids early on. It's going to take people who are young people right now, young and maybe professionals. It's going to take them getting involved in just that very way, running for office, taking the step, daring to represent and stepping up to the plate and saying, no, we're not going to go this way.
I completely agree. And that's why I come back to, what are we putting in our kids' brains? Let's make sure it's God-focused, America freedom-focused, not socialist, not communist, and making sure that the curriculum for education is just that, biblically based, so we have an America that we always have wanted to get back, and the entertainment going into our children's brains, lift them up, make them feel good about who they are as people, that their identity is in the Lord and not pop culture. No suicide issues, no eating disorders, no thinking they have to dress a certain way in order to fit in. We don't want children pregnant at 12 years old. We want them to be able to live the life that God has called them to live. And by making sure we're very careful with the messages going into their mind, that will happen. And that's our goal at Counterculture Mom. Our team of 21 loves kids. And we want to help busy parents because we are busy parents on this team. We're raising our kids. We're homeschooling. A couple of our women have babies. And after they're done, you know, feeding the kid, they're right on the computer writing another alert because we want to get this country back to where it needs to be. And we want our kids to thrive. not just survive.
It's going to take vigilance. It's going to take courage. It's going to take a willingness to fight the fight that you're describing. Hey, I have really appreciate you coming by the booth today and talking to us here at CPAC. We're on Broadcast Row, and this place is buzzing today, isn't it?
It is absolutely buzzing. And one last thing, because you, whenever you say something, you remind me of something else I need to say. So it's your fault. So parents out there are thinking, oh, okay, I really want to do a pop culture purge in my home. What can I do? The first big step is that you can get a really neat guide that we put together. We have a guide of positive comedians, positive video games, magazines, books, TV shows, movies, and they can get this entertainment to replace the negative entertainment in their home by texting the word guide, G-U-I-D-E, okay, to the number 55444. So text the word guide to 55444, and you'll be put on our newsletter list and check your inbox, and you will get that amazing free parent media guide to replace any nasty pop culture that might be lurking around your home.
And people need to know if it is. It might be shocking. It might be disappointing. But it's better to know and to learn than to have our eyes just covered and head buried. That's not going to help at all, is it?
No, and you just reminded me of something else.
I've got a knack for that, folks.
In the Counterculture Mom app, the thing that also makes parents frustrated is they'll see something, oh my gosh, that was in my kid's video game. That's gone. Oh, you got to be kidding me. I saw that movie poster. That's horrific. Or this toy on the Walmart store shelf has to get out of here. The app allows people to be a part of the change by letting us know what's going on. So that Inform Us section, please use it. Get the premium section of the app. Let us know the dirt that's happening. We will report it, because a lot of parents don't know where to report this stuff. They'll do it on Facebook, but then 3 seconds later, their post is taken down. I'm constantly in Facebook jail. So by banding together and letting everybody know what's going on, it really does make a difference. We see change.
That is an amazing challenge and a great job before us. And thank you for what you're doing to fight the fight. And I know every mom, my wife was a homeschool mom as well. We began homeschooling in 1985. It was still illegal, technically, to homeschool. And there were a lot of states, there were a lot of parents that were actually arresting parents for homeschooling their children as late as 85.
I had no idea that was the case. I learned about that at CPAC. I thought we always had those rights.
No.
And they're trying to strip those rights. And here we had to fight for those rights, and now they're trying to take them back.
Ironically, the very people that made homeschoolers' lives miserable back then are the ones that just introduced a whole new generation of parents to doing it. Although I agree with what Sam Sorbo said yesterday when I was talking with her, she said that this thing that parents are doing today is not the same as homeschooling, teaching a Becca the way you're doing and the way we did, with all of the wonderful curriculum that we had, the heart, the passion for homeschooling.
Yes.
A lot of what's going on, not trying to be critical of parents, thank you for doing that, but there's a whole lot more than just coming home with a computer hooked up to the public school and your kids are sitting there doing that.
Yes, and if they're telling you, like they are in Williamson County in Tennessee, that parents cannot be in the same room while their kids are taking their classes and looking online, there is a problem. That is a red flag that there's something illegal going on.
Why can't mom be in there? That's exactly right.
And Becca, online schooling, the reason why I really love it too is that when I went through school, I just remember bits and pieces. I remember memorizing a lot of stuff to get the good grade. But by teaching your kids, or even with the online, it makes it a lot easier because they have classroom teachers. You don't have to do, I was teaching 10 hours a day because I have four kids. And I was going from sun up till sundown teaching these kids different grade levels. By having online schooling with Becca, for example, I go through and correct their papers. I help them study for a test. But in doing so, in my 40s, am learning that I forgot 20 years ago.
Right.
And we have to be the change that we want to see in the world, and we have to be the example with our kids. So when I go speak at a rally in Tennessee, my kids are coming, and now they're being asked to do the Pledge of Allegiance to open the rally.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want our kids to be able to do. Be out, and that's another reason we homeschool. We have the freedom to go see stuff. We get to travel and see it in person. Mount Rushmore. You know, we get to go see and feel and touch and experience our history in America, and get our kids involved.
You're preaching it, my friend. You're preaching it. This is Tina Griffin, and it's so great. I'll have to have you back on the show, even if it's over the phone line. We can do that.
I would love that.
And thank you for speaking to all of our listeners here in Florida. And this could not be more important, what you're doing, offering to moms. And thank God for a resource that is biblically based and has the worldview that we're really needing to have to say, parents, get involved. Find out what is going on in your child. Turn it around. And if you need to swim upstream, do it.
Yes, and we have talking points. It's not just here's the problem, parents. Like half of our alerts, it's a 5-minute read, if that. Usually it's 2 minutes with a video attached if you want to watch it to tell you what's going on in pop culture. We give you solutions. And I also speak all over the place. Speaking is finally starting to pick up again all over the place because people want interaction again.
Yes.
And they're over the COVID deal.
Yes. So whether it's hopefully soon to be face-to-face events, I know you still would be doing virtual events as well. And you can get in touch with Tina at counterculturemom.com. counterculturemom.com. And she'll get right back with you. And I can't, again, thank you enough for stopping by.
Hey, thank you very much. There's a little fist bump for
that's
you.
That's right.
Keep doing what you're doing because you're helping us get the word out there as well. So you're doing
an excellent job. Thank you.
So there you have it. So thankful for all of my guests today. Mike Lindell from MyPillow, Kevin Sarbo, the actor, and the counterculture mom, Tina Griffin. In the days ahead, please be praying for the issues that were discussed at CPAC. A lot of them will be very impactful if they are passed. Things like HR1, which will definitely bring a negative impact in our hopes to turn around what happened in the vote this last November. We really do need to have voter integrity on the hearts and minds of all citizens. Also, the Equality Act, which would bring a negative impact on churches, on Christian schools, really throughout our entire country. Coming up this week, interviews with Aaron Osborne. He'll bring us up to date on church planting and how that's going in other nations with his work with Grace Partnership. Also, a member from Teen Challenge will be with us. And on Friday, a talk with Roger Long, known for some time in the area for Long's Christian Music and Bookstore on Edgewater Drive. So I'm really looking forward to these interviews. And thank you for being with me today here on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you the next time here on The Shepherd.